Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and my guest today is Katrina Julia. She is a multi-passionate entrepreneur, traveler, creator, and CEO of the all-in-one lifestyle brand Fit Life Creation. It's all about transforming every part of life, including health, wealth, business, and more. Katrina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Rob. Super grateful to be here and love learning from you and Lindsay recently on the community show.
Hey, you know what? I love it when I have a guest that comes on that actually has taken the time to go through and listen to an episode. And because I get emails all the time where we're like, love the show. I'm a huge fan of your podcast. And I'm like, you haven't listened to a single episode. And, you know, and they never reference and they're never like, well, I did listen to this episode and I really enjoyed it. So congratulations on being a fantastic guest just from the beginning to be able to say, hey, I listened to this episode and I enjoyed it. So,
well, no, absolutely, Rob. To your point, just to add to that, because I think a lot of people miss that boat. I specifically ask people when they apply to be a guest on the show, which episode did you listen to and what did you learn? Because it goes back to the golden rule that treat people how you want to be treated. If you want guests on your show, wouldn't you want them to actually listen and engage? Like Lindsay, I'm not a mom yet. I haven't had kids yet. But when she talked about how she started her community because she was a mom and then engaging with expectant moms and how the community grew organically, I could absolutely relate.
But, and so it's actually one of the interesting things, and this is really what this show is about. I have guests on who have expertise in areas, and that area may not be what fits with everybody, but it's actually the processes behind it are what is universal. So when you're building a business, what you're talking about with building a community, okay, maybe expecting moms, maybe bump club's not your community, but you know, Fit Club, that's your community.
Transformation is my club. So yeah. Whether it's mom or not mom, but someone that wants to transform health, wealth, biz, we can always learn from each other. So absolutely.
Right. And I'm sure that somebody else has the name Fit Club anyway. And the first rule of Fit Club is that you don't talk about Fit Club, but that's a totally different situation altogether. So tell me a little bit about, you're talking about transformation. And I said this in the intro and you just made it very clear. The transformation is not just, it's transformation from the inside out. And it's not just about being fit. So you're not going to be like shaming people and be like, you know, because listen, in my family, I've got a wife, three kids. I've got some good friends, but my wife, my two daughters and a couple of friends, they all have linked their Apple Watches together for their fitness rings. And they all get the announcements of who has closed their rings and who hasn't. And I'm assuming that what you're doing is more than just closing your fitness rings.
So first of all, kudos for your wife and the kids for finding something that works for them. Second of all, I am not a fit, like wristwatch wearing person at all, because in fact, I try to detach from technology as often as possible. So no, absolutely not. To your point, everyone I believe has, you know, FIT stands for actually follow, love, and all we do, impact people and transform the mind. So it is an acronym, but it ties to creating a life and business you love with wellness, with faith, with marketing, business, and travel. And to your point, no shaming, like suggesting guidance, sharing my story authentically, like how I lost over 55 pounds over now 7 years ago and have kept it off. What works for me with, you know, Herbalife Global Nutrition, with meal bags, with choosing to be healthy, with not choosing not to consume alcohol now for over 6 years, but I'm very well aware, you know, Peloton app is another thing that added to me last year with the pandemic, because I also compete in fitness shows, but I wasn't last year.
Right.
But I'm very well aware that different things work for different people. So I always tell people, hey, here's a plethora of tips, tools, and tech for health, wealth, and business. What works, what I've tried, maybe what I used for a while, you choose what works for you, or maybe you use something similar.
Right. Yeah. And I love the way that you're approaching that. Okay. And listen, I do a lot of motivational speaking, and it comes from the place where I have a disability. I acquired a disability when I was 21, and I've heard so many other motivational speakers with disabilities that are like, you know, this is all of the limitations that I have, and this is how terrible my world is, and I can still do amazing things, and you should feel bad about yourself because you don't have the problems that I have. And I'm like, no, that's not it at all. What we're talking about, and I think what you're talking about, is the universal that everybody's got limitations, everybody's got issues, everybody's got goals where they want to go, but what you need to figure out is your path. And to me, this is the concept of the hero journey, right? Where you have somebody who's going through and they've got a mountain to climb, so to speak, and they want to get to the top, but what they need is like a Sherpa or a guide, that person that comes along and that gives them the tools that allows them on their own journey. That seems like it fits with what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And I want to touch on two things. One, I'm so sorry about your disability and what you've gone through and what you're going to, but also how you're inspiring people.
Well, thank you. And let me just say that I actually look at my disability as one of the most profound learning experiences of my life. And if you gave me the option to say you could avoid all of this and just have learned these lessons over the course of your life, or you can go through what you've gone through and know what you've learned. Really, I don't view my, look at my life. All right. I'm married. I've got three amazing kids. I've got friends. I've got a successful speaking career. I've written books, like all of those things. And what the ultimate lesson there is that we do have limitations. We do have problems. We do have barriers. If we focus on those, then we end up metaphorically being paralyzed. But if we take and say, what are my strengths? What are my abilities? And how do I maximize those? That's how we live a full and successful life.
Three things that you brought up that I want to highlight from that. You touched on basically what I talk about as pain to purpose. We all have pain, whether it is disability, whether it is health, whether it is financial, especially with the last year, whether it is business, whether it is your marriage, your singlehood, whatever it is. But we have the choice always to turn pain to purpose. That's actually my book that I'm working on right now.
Okay.
So immediately as you were talking, I was like 100% alignment. And I love your gratitude and like highlighting all the blessings, all the things that have come out of it or as a result of the mindset. And it reminds me of something I realized in 2017 a lot, how passion plus purpose equals profits, that it's exactly centers around what do you love? Mm-hmm. What have you overcome? What are your gifts, talents, and abilities? And who do you want to impact and how? And when you understand that profoundly and you start to fall in love with your own journey, and then you hit on the third point I had is you hit on the hero's journey. And absolutely, we all have mountains to climb. And what I want to come across to people in whatever way they interact with me, whether it's on your show, whether they choose to engage in our community further, whether it's, you know, online, live, whatever, that I believe we all absolutely have our own path and we all have the freedom to choose. Mm. And we have been bombarded by lies, by culture, that you have to do this in this way and this is the life you're supposed to live and in the way you're supposed to live it. And no, you're not. You have the freedom to create a life and business you love and to design it how you want, where you want, and whatever way you want, seeking to ultimately, I believe, to impact other people that are meant to be served from your story and your journey.
Mm-hmm. You know, since you're talking about your book that you're working on, I've got a concept that I've been working on for the last little bit. It's about dreams, okay? And I don't mean literal dreams. I mean like when Martin Luther King Jr. says, I have a dream. It's that place where you say, like, this is where I want to be. Your dream is your happy place. It's where you feel comfortable. If it's not where you feel comfortable, it's a nightmare, okay? But the dream that we all have is, and we talk about the American dream, and the American dream somehow is like a, you know, the house in the suburbs with the white picket fence or whatever it is. And the American dream isn't what works for everybody. Okay. What we all need to do is find out what is my dream. And then you're looking for how do I have the tools to get to where I want to be? And you're talking about being creative. You're talking about, you know, building and empowering individuals to take the skill set that they have, to recognize what those skills are, and then to hone them and strengthen them to be able to get to where they want to be.
Absolutely. And you just hit on something, and I needed to reach across the table to get to this journal because I wanted to talk about part of my process every morning.
Sure.
And then also the teachers that have impacted me, because I am big on giving credit where it is due. Mm. I cringe when I hear the term self-made, because none of us are self-made. I always say I'm creator made, I'm community made, like interacting with you is adding to, you know, wisdom that I'm getting and, you know, and all of that. So when I share these steps are like, this is, I have a morning practice now that's called a Sacred Seven that's evolved from, you know, a number of influences. And one of those things is journaling. And in my journaling practice, and I'm going to give credit where credit is due, because a lot of this is birthed out of people that have influenced me. So I start every morning with basically in the Sacred Seven, which is I am statements, Bible reading, journaling, listening to a positive message, positive music, prayer, and movement. And it's not always in the same order. It's always changing. It's always evolving. But specifically, I want to highlight the journaling practice because it ties to your dream, your okay. dream focus. And so I'm kind of giving the steps in the overview so the audience and you can get value and kind of get insight how my brain works. And okay. just in. So the first thing I write in the journaling section of that Sacred Seven, when I get to that, and my morning routine now usually just takes about an hour to an hour and a half. Okay. So it's not this whole elaborate long thing, but it's the time and the intention is there. I write a scripture for the day. I write a prayer for the day. I outline my Sacred Seven to make sure I'm staying true to myself.
Okay.
I also do things and I practice things in the course of the day in seven steps to success, which is spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, playful, physical, and financial. Because to your point, I realized when I was in corporate America 10 years ago and I'd reached what looked like the pinnacle of the American dream, I was miserable. My soul was empty. And then I outlined my Create Seven, which is how I approach my daily like calling and work-wise, like what I'm doing for the day, the one, two, or three things. My Goal Seven, which is my super focus, gratitude, and I'm getting to the dream part.
Okay.
My day, my blocks in my day, and then number 9 is vision, and number 10 is my celebrates for the day, because we also tend to suck at celebration. So I've been influenced by people from, you know, church, my parents, the Herbalife community, Brendan Burchard, Shailene Johnson. I've been an avid student. And then this specific activity on dreaming has been greatly influenced by Rachel Hollis.
Okay.
She has a daily journal that I practiced avidly last year, but then I realized I started birthing my own journaling process, basically.
Okay.
And in her daily, she has you write down your top 10 dreams. And so in that process, what I started doing is writing my top 10 dreams, but also realizing which ones were already true, Rob, that I was fighting for them. Right. And they were already becoming true. Like right now, I'm in Costa Rica. I'm traveling for the next 2 years. That was something I was writing a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years ago.
Okay. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just like, I feel like you're like a fire hose of information in which you're like, I'd like to share with you. And I'm not just going to give you like the dribble drip method. I'm just going to open this up and I'm going to tell you about I've got the seven sacred practices. I've got the seven things in them. And then I've got 8, 9, and 10. And I love it. Like I, again, just to, as one of the things that I love about a guest is the guests who share and the guests aren't like, well, if you go to my website, this is good stuff. So as you've kind of got a whole bunch of stuff going on in which you get up in the morning, you're doing your Sacred Seven, you're doing your journal, and then you're doing your movement. You've got all of that working together. You're working to to get to where you want to be. And you're, to take this back to where I started, where what you're looking at is a way to share this with other people so that you've had the people that have kind of been the guides in your journey. And now you're taking this, the next step to say, I want to be able to help other people as well. How does that work for you?
Absolutely. So there's a couple ways it works, and I'll kind of give you a summary and then feel free to dive in and take it where you want to go, where you feel it's valuable. So part of the vision where I also saw an all-in-one lifestyle brand going and what I wanted to create back in 2013, when that vision was first birthed, so to speak, into 2015, is I wanted to create a platform both online and live. So long before the pandemic,
okay,
I knew that I wanted a business that was over 80 to 90% online, because I wanted the freedom to be, do whatever I wanted to do and have it automated and delegated once I did get married, once I did have kids, and then also just to travel and do, like, you know, have that peace of mind. So that means having a blog, having a show where now there's over 300, you know, episodes and blogs on wellness, on media, on business and travel. That means, you know, now that, you know, all that now is a reality, online courses,
sure,
having the online courses. That means having, you know, the partnerships and collaborations, you know, with people like yourself, whether they're guests on the show, whether they're influencers that help promote our, you know, blog, our show, our online courses, or people that come to our live events, live retreats, and people that have. And then that means doing the exact same thing with brands and businesses, you know, in wellness, in business, in marketing, and in travel, and helping them scale and potentially create an all-in-one lifestyle brand too. And then all of that, Rob, serves that we and I also give back a minimum of 10% of everything we make.
Okay.
To help in homelessness and cancer, vets and battered women. And then we also do custom fundraising as well. I've done things with Nike, with Big Peach, with the Atlanta Children's Shelter, a lot of different things.
Okay. And that is one of the other things that I've appreciated, is that concept of it's business with a heart. Okay. Because so many times business gets a bad name, and business is about business, and business is about money. And if business is making money, that's what it's about. But you're saying, no, we've got to have more or less a holistic view of business, that business is a part of our life. Business supports our life, but business also supports our community and makes our community a better place. What a great concept.
Thank you. And you actually brought it back in a sense full circle, because, you know, when I was in college, I was this girl. You know, I was starting nonprofits, you know, I was fully on fire for life. My soul felt so full. And then what I found, you know, back to what you said about the American dream and, you know, and the influence of culture or the influence of voices that are not aligned with who you are. And, you know, what I found with time, that the goals that I set that were smaller than really who I was, and then the cultural influence and the lies and just so many things steered me into industries and or roles and or companies that did not have a heart, that were bottom line first, that were, you know, you don't get time off. Oh, we don't care that you just had a kid. You know, like I'm speaking from other people that I saw,
right.
Or I don't care that your child has a baseball game. I need you here for this meeting, you know, type thing. And I remember, you know, sitting at the pinnacle of, you know, being a chief audit executive in corporate America and looking at this, I'm like, how did I get here? And at the same time, of course, I was grateful for a lot of opportunities and things that, you know, were given and bestowed upon me and the things that I learned, like, don't get me wrong, but I was looking at it like, where did I steer so far from who I was in college to be here now and to be witnessing this? Like, I'm partially aligned to certain things. And I remember being like, no, this is not going to be my life. I will fight to get realigned fully and, you know, and not to be or work with, you know, not to be that company that's bottom line only.
Sure.
And not to work with people that are, because
right.
You can feel it when people are all about money, 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 or, you know, aren't responsive or aren't aligned or really don't truly care about you as a person or as a, you know, a company is like a family.
Right.
It's an entity that's living and breathing and has objectives and missions. And so when I'm working with someone, even on the front end, I'm extremely discerning now about okay, are you like, just as much as I read about you or listened or took the time, like, are you of that same heart?
Right. What? Okay. I'm a person, I live in a world of analogy. Since we talked about faith and we talked about God and you mentioned church, this is what I had to come to learn at one point that really had an influence on my faith, is that a church is not a building, but a church is the people. Okay. And so with this, you've kind of opened that up to say a business is not just a spreadsheet in which you look at the bottom line. A business is about the people and about what it does for them and with them and how it helps them to live their lives in the way that gets them to their dreams. I want to just shift gears a little bit because this has been phenomenal. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about is for other people who are looking to do some of the things that you've done with your business. You talked about doing online courses and about doing, you know, like summits and that kind of thing. Can you talk to me about how you do those, what people can learn from what you've gone through in order to be able to do better at it themselves?
Sure, absolutely, 100%. So I'll share some snapshots of my journey. I'll share some snapshots of the tools I use,
okay,
and things that I teach, and of course, and resources that are available as well. So when I was starting this, I envisioned in my brain, like I looked at models. I looked at Amazon, I looked at Airbnb, you know, I looked at things that practically, like I had this vision and I had this faith, but I also looked at things on a practical level. And so I looked at how Amazon was all encompassing. Like you can find anything on Amazon, right?
Right.
But if you look at Jeff Bezos's journey and you read about his story, there was a lot of time where he did not make money. He started with, you know, it being a book focused organization, and then it expanded with his vision. And then Airbnb being, you know, this community hub of basically never ending entrepreneurship, right? And then, of course, then you have influencer marketing and everything that's done with influencer marketing. And again, everything centers around creating a community and creating access and convenience. So I first, in my brain, wanted to have this view of value, a never-ending value to keep people coming back. That's where the blog comes in. That's where the show comes in, just like your show. And that also comes into play with the freebies library. Because immediately I saw, like, it's like a relationship. Like when you got married, you didn't get married, you know, right away. It was like you were courting. Like I look at things like, again, same thing in terms of analogy.
Sure.
First, we're kind of courting, we're dating, we're seeing if it's a good fit. Then the opt-in in my brain becomes that it's like, oh, now we're really becoming good friends. Because now you want me to connect with you on an ongoing basis and you're diving in deeper. So like the freebies library, I have like how passion plus purpose equals profits, a 5-part video series I filmed in Cuba that's 100% free. You know, I have previews of online courses. And immediately when I started thinking about that, Rob, I started thinking about what tools existed. I was using Wix. You know, I was familiar with WordPress. So then I started diving in. I'm also a big researcher. I started, you know, part of my background is I'm also a CPA. So my brain is always also wired on the tactical and like project management and also automating, delegation, freeing up time and ROI. So my brain is wired on both sides. Absolutely.
Okay.
And so at that point I looked at, okay, what tools are out there? What tools are super simple that not only I can adopt easy, but I can teach easily. Mm. I can automate, I can delegate to a student, but then I can delegate also to a VA or a team member. So my brain is always thinking on those, like those spectrums, and I can outline it in 3 to 5 steps, whatever task is. So I came across Kajabi, K-A-J-A-B-I, which I learned being a student from Brendan Burchard and Shailene Johnson.
Right.
And so I saw it as a student. I was like, oh my God. And I had tons of experience in the past in over 7 industries in corporate America, looking at all these learning management tools, because I would implement them also for, you know, for companies. And I'm like, oh my God, this tool is rock star. It's automated. I see it as a student. So I, you know, embarked on the journey of starting in Kajabi. Right. So now I would say, you know, over maybe 10 or 20% of our website is on Wix, because I love the ease, simplicity of Wix, but everything else is fully automated on Kajabi. And so that is another like 70, 80% of our business, you know, from freebies to courses to the summit, my retreats, but I also list on other platforms. But then I delegate also a ton through ClickUp and our VAs. But I'll stop there because it looks like you have questions.
No, okay. So ClickUp and RVAs. What are those?
So ClickUp is an incredible project management tool. So I'm, you know, a big fan of Monday, Asana. Back in the day, it was Microsoft Project, right?
Okay.
But last year I discovered ClickUp because I'm also a big, you know, with in mind task, like I'm big on accountability, but not just accountability from other people. I'm big on self accountability.
Mm. So important.
And building that muscle. So like, for example, on my phone, and I'm, you know, for you guys listening, I'm showing Rob on the screen, but I have a app that I keep on here called Focus Matrix. That has Focus Matrix, which the lighting may not show fully, but it's basically four quadrants. And it shows, like, basically I stay on track with, you know, with the different things I get done for the day. But ClickUp is a step further. Are you laughing because I reframed it to get?
Yep, exactly. It's not what I have to do today. It's what I get to do today.
It's what I get to do. Yep. I get to finish a show with Rob. And then ClickUp is a step further. So I'm showing, you know, I'm sharing different tools on accountability. ClickUp, so I've used Monday, I've used Asana, I've used Microsoft Project, I've used all these different tools. ClickUp is like project management on steroids.
Okay.
You can get a free version. I upgraded to the paid version. You can set up, you know, all your, so I have my Create 7 or my 90-day plan set up there. And the beauty of it is you can set up dashboards on there that are included. So at a glance, I can see where I'm at with my life. I can see where I'm at with my business. I can see where I'm at with my finances. Then they integrate fully into Zoom, into Slack, into Toggle. So it's like an all-in-one project management tool.
Okay.
And then you asked about VAs. So VAs are virtual assistants.
Right.
Go ahead. Do you have a question?
Well, no, you said, I think you said RVAs, and that was something I wasn't familiar with.
No. I meant virtual assistants, like through FSIs, okay, or through Task Virtual, or okay, through OK Relax. So basically it's scaling, but there is a platform called We Are VAs too.
All right. Now I understand it completely. Listen, you have given us a ton of information. And if people are looking to get a hold of you on the web or find out more information about what you're doing, what's the easiest way to do that?
The easiest thing is go to fitlifecreation.com. You can find all my social handles there. You can find all our freebies, the blog, the show, the courses, anything we've got going on, all there.
All right, fantastic. I will put a link in the show notes to fitlifecreation.com. And I think I've got some of your social media stuff, which I will put up there as well. So this is great. Katrina, thank you so much for being on. We've learned a lot. You have established that you are a fountain of information and you are smart. It's time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these?
Yes, I loved listening to Lindsay's.
All right. What is the last time that you cried? It could either be happy or sad.
I would say in December. I mean, I probably cried a number of times in December. And do you want me to elaborate like what it was?
If you don't mind.
No, not at all. So several things going on. You know, on one side of life, a lot of things are great. And I'm super, super grateful. And a lot of things have transformed, you know, in life. But on another side, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this from last year, is, you know, things, you know, on a, say, calling basis or financial basis or being debt free yet are not there yet. And then I made a huge decision in December, actually earlier in the year, you know, with the pandemic and being over 95% isolated, I made the decision to go travel globally, you know, donating a ton of stuff, leaving some stuff in storage. You know, now I'm in Costa Rica. So you can imagine so many fears and struggles and breakthroughs happened in December alone. Like, and I'm easily, like, I will let myself cry now all the time. Like, I used to not be, but I let myself cry now all the time.
Oh, you've got to be in touch with your emotions and let them out. And instead of, it's that thing where we are kind of guilted into, like, you can't let all that out. People will think you're whatever. When you're doing all this traveling, what's your favorite place that you've been so far?
Honestly, I don't have a favorite place because, and the reason why I say that, like, I'll share some places I love. And the reason why I don't say I have a favorite place is because every single place, Rob, like, adds so much to my spirit, soul, mind, and body.
Okay.
And I learned so much about myself. and I break through like new barriers and levels to, you know, a new Katrina, a new evolution. Like I'm completely different than I was last month, and I'm completely different than I was in December. But of course there's, you know, fundamentals that are the same. So I'll share maybe one or two. So last month I was in La Fortuna, Costa Rica, you know, pretty much the whole month. Okay. Right now I'm in Monteverde. So I literally just got here yesterday. So I loved La Fortuna for several reasons. My Airbnb and, you know, Dragonfly was such a blessing in so many ways. The adventure that I did, the ease of access to work. Like I did waterfall rappelling for the first time in my life, which was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Then I did the hot springs that I got to explore. And I mean, you can imagine, like, it's one of, like, it's top of mind because I was just there, but it's also top of mind because it represents the start of a completely new 2021 that is like night and day from how I ended 2020, you know, okay. Being stuck in Atlanta, isolated. So it, you know, has that place. Another place that comes to mind is Bulgaria and Poland, because that's part of my heritage,
okay.
You know, and my history and who I am. And then another one that I'll mention real briefly is Havana, Cuba.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is like not having access to Wi-Fi, you know, being, you know, like realizing the things that have impacted their culture, like with their government,
right.
And then how privileged I am.
Okay.
You know, is a huge wake up call in humility.
Right. Okay. What, so you were talking about the experiences of being transformed by all the different places you've been. And I really appreciated the fact that you didn't go with like, I've had people who talk to me about the fact, like I made a 360 degree turn, and it was like, well, actually a 360 degree turn actually ends up with you facing exactly where you were, but you're talking about incremental change and you're talking about transformation from the inside out, which allows you not to just be turning around and around and around, but to actually be at somebody new or have a new outlook on life and be developing yourself. Last question, you're doing fitness, you're doing, you know, you've lost a lot of weight. You've done all of these things. Do you have like a go-to guilty pleasure snack still that's like every now and then when you decide to have maybe a cheat day or at least like a cheat moment, is there something that you're like, okay, this is going to take me to my happy place?
You know, it's such an interesting question because I know a lot of people have that, Rob, and I don't fault them at all. But what's really, really interesting, and I'm going to give you guys some backdrop for this so that you understand my mindset, my journey. I used to have all kinds of cravings. Like if you would have talked to me 7 years ago, I used to have sweet cravings, salt cravings, all kinds of things. What I constitute literally as a miracle is that I have no cravings and I have no desires anymore. Like, so my cheat day, in answer to one of your questions, is making protein pancakes with peanut butter. So it's still not a cheat day. And I don't crave, like a lot of people ask me, you know, because I'll freely talk about it and I don't judge people at all that drink because I used to. And, you know, and again, it's a choice.
Right.
And I have plenty of times where angels drove me home that, you know, I don't crave it and I have zero desire for it. Like I remember, like I'll give you two specific examples that I used to love tiramisu. I used to love tiramisu. Like it was my mom's and my thing. We had it in Spain. We had it in Italy. We had it Houston, everywhere. Okay. Atlanta. And when I lost my weight, you know, I, you know, lost the 55 pounds and kept it off and started competing. Maybe 2-3 months later, I had tiramisu and it still tasted the same. Then 10 months later, I tried it again. And immediately when I bit it, I felt this overwhelmingly sick, sweet sensation. Mm. And it was like almost to the point that it was disgusting.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh, like I had to literally put it out. And I asked my mom because she was with me. And I said, Mom, does it taste the same? And she said, yeah. And I said, because she loved, you know, like, and I said, okay, so it's me who's changed.
Right.
My taste buds, my cells, everything has changed. And like, I literally have not eaten any sweets other than that. Other than I will say this. I am able to eat and enjoy dark chocolate, but it's 100% dark, 100% natural.
Right,
and it's,
right.
I had some at a tasting here, you know, at a farm in Costa Rica last month, but I literally like my body like rejects sugar. And then alcohol, the last time I drank over 6 years ago, it was like 10 months after like a fitness show. A great friend of mine, Angela, came into town to visit. We went dancing, had a great time. I had one glass of wine, one. Mm. And the next morning I woke up with like the worst hangover of the century. And I'm like, I used to down 8 or 10 drinks. Like what's happening? And I just made the decision. Then I was like, you know what? I didn't drink for 10 months. I didn't miss it at all. If this is what happens to my body after drinking one glass in the next morning, I have zero desire. And this is not in alignment with who I am and who I want to be on a performance or purpose level. And right. So like, you know, so my quote unquote cravings are protein pancakes. My quote unquote cravings is I have eggs in there and like pollo that I bought yesterday are oat milk that I bought.
Hey, you know what? More power to you. I know a little bit about what you're talking about. About 3 years ago, I lost 40 pounds and I have not kept it off like you did. And part of the reason for that is because I gave into my cravings. But I literally about 3 weeks ago started back on my diet and,
lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, part of it is because of my disability, I can't do a whole lot of exercise. And so it's a choice about what comes into my body that is going to affect the physical condition of my body. So, but congratulations on that. Listen, Katrina, I think I could probably talk to you for another 2 or 3 hours, and it's been fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show. For all my listeners, I appreciate you being here, and I will remind you, as always, that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.